This podcast contains graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Now, with that being said, welcome to the Mortal Musings podcast.
Right, let's do this.
So the other day, Neil and I decided to get a takeaway. And we're gonna get a takeaway, sit down, watch a movie, relax.
Treat yourselves.
Like, you know, we get a takeaway every week, but treat yourselves.
Yeah.
But yeah, went to get a takeaway and Neil turns to me and goes, do you fancy having a drink with dinner? And I went, you know what? I fucking do. You know? So Neil went, got himself a beer, and then he went to get a bottle of wine for himself. He goes and gets the bottle of wine and thinks, oh, do you know what I'll do? I'll put it in an ice bucket for her. Treat yourselves, like you said.
Yeah. Because I'm so, just that kind of guy.
That kind of fucking guy. So he goes off searching for the ice bucket. Can't find it. He was too organized in his organization and he doesn't know where the fuck he's put it.
Right. I was looking in the kitchen because it's a kitchen item.
Yeah, but you stored it in the pantry. Yeah, so he couldn't find it. He goes, right, I know what I'll use. I'll just grab a saucepan and fill it with ice. Yeah?
Hmm.
So he does that. Now, the problem is our ice cubes are little spheres.
Yeah, they're not cubes.
No, they're not cubes at all.
Like little globes.
Yeah. So he's there trying to put the bottle of wine into the ice. And because of their shape, they're just sliding around and rotating and bouncing off. And he can't get this fucking bottle of wine. I swear to fuck, it was 3 or 4 minutes watching him just chase this bottle of wine around with the ice, trying to fucking get into the bastard thing.
Yeah, and you just sat there watching me.
Because here's the problem with Neil, right? He's a prick. If you offer to help him, he will get upset and take it as an insult, like you think he can't do it. Whereas if you don't help him, he will get upset that you haven't offered to help him and you've just been watching him struggle.
Yeah.
There's no winning. You're fucked.
It's really not difficult.
But you realise that you're like that, that you do this. That's probably your most toxic trait. You can't, because I'll be there, like, I only said to you the other day, we got some stuff from IKEA and Neil was putting it together. And I said, I don't dare help him. I am a nervous wreck every time Neil does DIY or anything like that, because I know it's going to be a rough fucking day.
Do you want me to make it very simple for you? And this is for pretty much all men.
Okay.
We can do it, but we don't want you sat there watching us fail. So don't
offer. If you're failing, you're not doing it.
Don't offer to help.
Mm-hmm. But don't not help.
No, but don't not help and just sit there watching, especially laughing, which you know you fucking do, which sets me off even more.
I don't do that because I am, like I said, a nervous wreck. I wouldn't dare laugh. Frightened for my life in those moments. You explain to me what you want me to do. Where do you want me to go? Just leave the house?
Just go on your phone or something. Don't sit there watching me
fail. Yeah, but here's
fail.
The thing. You say go on your phone, but if I'm sat on my phone, you'll go, you're not going to help me.
No, I wouldn't.
Bollocks.
No, it's when you sit there watching me failing, which makes me worse, so I fail more.
What if I sit there just words of encouragement, like, you're doing amazing, sweetie. That help?
If you said that, I'd put your head through the wall.
So not a Kris Jenner fan, no.
CrimeCon UK, the ultimate true crime event, returns to London on the 21st and 22nd of September 2024. CrimeCon UK is the world's leading true crime event and is partnered by True Crime, the expert-led true crime channel available on your platform of choice. From fascinating sessions with some of the biggest names in true crime to raising a glass with your favourite podcasters, tickets will include free tea, coffee, biscuits, flavoured water across the entire weekend. And there's plenty of time to network with the crime contributors. This year also sees the introduction of a platinum ticket. The platinum ticket gives guests access to exclusive content, private events, and one-on-one FaceTime with the CrimeCon UK cast. CrimeCon UK is an unforgettable way for you to really immerse yourself in the true crime community. Neil and I will be there, so come and join us for a drink and quote Mortal for your special 10% discount.
And I'll be there So, what are we doing today? Another animal attack or?
No, don't be ridiculous. We're not doing two in a row. Today, we are going to be taking a look at the case of Omaima Nelson and the murder of Bill Nelson.
The what?
Omaima Nelson.
Yeah.
And the murder of Bill Nelson.
Murder of both?
No. The murder of Bill Nelson. Yeah. But we're also going to be talking quite a bit about Omaima Nelson.
Who's that?
She was his wife.
Okay.
We got there. We got there eventually. On the 1st of December, 1991, Omaima Nelson calls over to her friend's house. She asks her friend if he could help her dispose of something that she had in the boot of her car. Or trunk, if you're American. Do Americans know what boot of the car is? I'm not saying that to sound like a condescending prick.
Oh, no, I'll say it to be a condescending prick. Oh,
okay, you say it.
No, I think they should.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, do you even know what it is?
Because even though they call it a hood, they like laugh and take the piss out of us going, and your bonnet.
I don't know which I prefer, hood or bonnet.
Bonnet? Because that's what it is.
No, I know, but if I had to pick between the two.
It's like, I wonder if they have a saying, because we say, oh, you got a bee in your bonnet.
Oh, yeah.
Do they go, bee on your hood?
They say bee in your bonnet. But are they thinking about bonnet that you wear in your head?
But that's not what the saying is.
I'm just...
There's bonnet on a car.
But if they say it, Neil.
So she wanted to dispose of... I'm fairly certain this is a body.
You don't know that yet. She also offered her friend $75,000 if he helped her with the disposal.
Would you?
No. No, because even if I need the money, I'd be like, okay, that's too good of a fucking offer. What's going on here? This isn't like an old armchair that you want to bring into the fucking tip.
Let's say you knew it was a body, but this is a close friend. This is like a sorority sister.
Okay.
Where you've had packs and, you know.
Absolutely not. I'll turn you in as soon as look at you. Her friend, disturbed by the encounter, agrees to help. He tells Omaima to wait at his home while he goes and gets his truck. He immediately gets the nearest payphone and calls the police.
Fucking rat.
The police show up to the home and begin searching the 1975 red Corvette that she had arrived in as she timidly looks on. After what they find in her car, Omaima is arrested on suspicion of murder.
So, suspicion of murder?
Suspicion.
She's got a body in a car.
Mm, in the boot. Yeah, suspicion.
The
loot was hidden in the boot. So before we continue with the story from there, let's jump back and have a look at Omaima's background. Omaima Ari Nelson was born in 1968 and was raised in Cairo, Egypt. Now, Omaima had a difficult childhood with a father who was said to have been a very aggressive, violent man. And not only was she abused as a child, but she was also a victim of female genital mutilation.
What's that?
It's horrific. So there's different types of female genital mutilation. It can be partial or total removal of the clitoral glands or narrowing of the vaginal opening, or the worst case, both.
So is this female version of snip?
It can be called female circumcision, but it is more severe.
I'd have thought so.
Yeah.
Because with snip, it's just skin. Whereas clit's nerves.
Exactly. So obviously with like a male circumcision, there can be complications and difficulties and all that.
Yeah.
But with female, it's a much higher.
Wait, is this babies?
From infancy.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, I think sometimes women will go through it, but quite often it's done on young girls and kids.
Yeah, I thought it'd be harder on women because the nerves and everything.
It's no good. Do you know that?
I don't know. Right, I'm 35 and I don't know much about the female body. Is everything fully developed at a young age, nerve wise and stuff? Or
I would assume so. Now, there are no benefits to this, and in fact, there are a hell of a lot of negatives to it. Immediate issues such as severe pain, hemorrhaging, infection, shock, and death, and some of the long-term effects such as urinary problems, vaginal problems, including issues with menstruation, pain during sex, as well as decreased satisfaction, higher risk childbirths, And of course, psychological problems such as PTSD, depression, anxiety, and low self-esteem. And like we said, it's most commonly carried out in young girls from infancy.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's no good. And unfortunately, it is still practiced in some parts of the world.
Yeah. But if, right, I know it's severe, more severe.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're against that, would you be against the snip?
Well, you're talking about circumcision.
Yeah.
Rather than vasectomy.
Yeah.
No. Sorry, the snip.
What?
You said the snip. That's more used for like vasectomy, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't mean that. I mean...
Yeah, you mean circumcision, yeah.
Jews and that, yeah.
I don't want to be judgmental because I know in America it's like fairly common. Over this part of the world, that's not really a thing.
Yeah.
Maybe from a religious standpoint, it's more common. But generally speaking, it's not done here.
Mm.
Men don't really get circumcised. Me personally, I don't agree with it because... Even if there's no complications as such or anything like that, you're still decreasing that person's sexual satisfaction. There's no need for it.
Yeah.
You quite often hear that it's cleaner and things like that.
Yeah.
Well, just clean yourself properly and that's not an issue.
Yeah.
You know, which is also an incredibly insulting thing to the majority of the male population to basically say that you're dirty because you're uncircumcised. No.
Like that's there is women who say that. They'll only sleep with people who are circumcised.
Yeah. Like, do you remember in Sex and the City?
No.
They had the, oh, okay.
Don't watch Sex and the City.
Well, they had a whole conversation about that. And I remember watching it like, oh, I wouldn't sleep with someone who's uncircumcised. And I was like, this is such a weird conversation to listen to. I know it's a TV show, but from someone from this part of the world.
Yeah.
You just, it wouldn't, it's not a conversation that would ever be had. But enough about penises getting circumcised. It's not really why we're here. Now, as far as Amima goes, she was subjected to the more extreme form of this mutilation. So Amima had been through some horrific shit.
Yeah.
In her earlier years. In 1986, at the age of 18, Amima emigrated to the US after meeting an American oil worker. The two got married and moved to Texas, but this marriage didn't last long. So, still a teenager, her marriage has ended, her English isn't great, and she's just kind of on her own in a foreign country.
Hmm.
Must have been tough going.
Just a bit. But then again, in Texas there's loads of, like, multiple languages and stuff, isn't there?
Well, in the US in general, yeah. But it's still, you know... You have a grown adult who's going to move to a different country and be a bit fucking anxious, but she's 18, 19 at this point.
Yeah.
You know? Eventually, Amima would settle in California, and she supported herself through work as a nanny as well as modelling. And Amima, she was a beautiful woman. Well, is a beautiful woman. She's still alive. She was described as a beauty with cut glass cheekbones. God love them fucking cheekbones.
Like they.
That's the only thing I like about myself, really, looks-wise, is that I've got high cheekbones. It was said that Amima would use her looks to her advantage. She knew she was a beautiful woman who had many male admirers, and she would capitalize on this. And it was predominantly older men.
Usually is.
It was reported that she would significantly gain, financially speaking, from these relationships, including her rent being paid for, her car, as well as receiving cash.
So she's got it made.
Yeah. She's doing the damn thing.
Yeah.
But it was also said of Amima that not just to be financially supported, she did want to be loved and taken care of. She just wanted to be kind of kept, so to speak.
What do you mean fucking kept?
She clearly wanted to be, I say clearly, I assume, wanted to be more of a trophy wife kind of thing.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Well, she was.
What do you mean?
Well, she was, like, she's getting everything paid for.
Yeah.
By an older gentleman.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, she hadn't reached that status quite yet, securing it, locking it down. Then in October of 1991, while out at a bar, she met a man by the name of Bill Nelson. Now, Bill. Billy. William.
Older gentleman?
He was indeed. Bill, at 56, was 33 years her senior.
Nah, fucking hang on. It's not a paedophile, but it's not fucking right.
It is a bit of an age gap. I'll give you that. It's not. It's a bit too
much. She's still a teen here.
At this point, she's 23. So she is an adult.
Yeah, 23. She's still young, but...
They're all grown adults, but...
She's a dirty old man.
As far as what he did for work, Bill had previously worked as a pilot, but he got the sack for smuggling marijuana and spent 4 years in prison. After his release from prison, Bill got himself a job at a mortgage company.
So he went from smuggler to robber.
Yeah. You're not fucking wrong. Described as a kind, loving and trusting man, Bill was also a father of five and a grandfather of 17. I did the maths on that one. I was like, 17, that's a lot, isn't it? A big personality, very outgoing and flamboyant. He was a full-on Texan boy who loved a good cowboy boot. Red, I believe, was his colour of choice. And big old fuck-off belt buckles.
If you're going to get cowboy boots, get them in red.
Would you actually go for red? We go to Texas for a week. We go on a little trip to Texas. We go and get a nice little yee-yee hat.
No, I think I'd have to get them in black with like a,
I'd go
a
for
chrome
brown.
Trim.
Chrome? Oh.
Or metal. But they've got to have them little wheels on the back of the heels. You know, they spin. Like, I'd sit there spinning them all fucking day and kick your shins off with me heel. Wait, no hat?
What?
He didn't have an hat?
Oh, he might have done, but it was specifically mentioned about the boots and the belt buckles.
Ah, see, I'd go all out.
Yeah, if you're going to go big, go big. It was...
Gotta go double denim and all.
Oh, yes. It was also said of Bill that he liked to appear quite flashy. While at the bar that night, the two played pool together, chatted and really hit it off. And they probably had something in common with him being from Texas. That was the first place she went to in America. I'm guessing that was maybe a conversation starter when she seen them seductive red cowboy boots. Yeah. It was a whirlwind romance type of thing, very hot and heavy. And just a few days later, Bill and Amima were married.
Oh, so he locked that one down.
He did indeed. So, happy days, newlyweds and all that.
Dirty old bastard.
Problem is, though, Bill's family are a bit sus of Amima. One thing that was said to have kind of broken the ice with them was when Amima was injured after falling while horse riding. Apparently, instead of going to the hospital and getting checked out, she was just like, bollocks to that. Give me some painkillers and a shot of vodka, I'll be grand.
Painkillers and a shot of vodka?
Yes.
So the vodka cancels out the painkillers?
Well, this is Omaima's request. But apparently Bill's family were kind of like, you know, I like her, she seems smart. I'm guessing they took it as she wasn't costing him money in hospital bills or whatever. But you know, it seems a bit odd to me, but you know, go off. Whatever does it for you. Now, with Thanksgiving coming up, Bill thought this would be a great opportunity to introduce his new wife to his family properly. All get to know each other. So Bill invites his daughter, Margaret, over to meet his new wife. But Margaret was still pissed. She told him to shag off. She didn't want anything to do with this.
Why?
She didn't like the situation. She was still uncomfortable with Omaima. She didn't trust her. She didn't...
What was the age difference between the daughter and her?
I'm not sure. I mean, she could well have been older than Omaima, you know?
I think that is where a big age gap, you know, when it goes into a different ballpark. If your kids are older than the person you're dating, then it's very fucking weird, I think.
For me, it's kind of like I would look at you as a child.
Yes.
It's like I remember changing my child's nappy and you're in a nappy. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, yeah. But yeah, Margaret wasn't having any of this fuckery. She was not putting up with it. Which, you know, I'm sure Bill would have loved to have had his daughter there, had Thanksgiving together. Family event. But it was said that Bill understood her hesitation and he was said to have been very patient with her. So Thanksgiving comes and goes and we're into early December where police receive a call and subsequently arrested Omaima on suspicion of murder. So what was found in the boot of the car which led to her arrest, which by the way, it was actually Bill's car, his flashy...
The red Corvette.
Mm-hmm. You know, it was said he kind of liked to be flashy and all that, and that car definitely made a statement.
Yeah.
So within the car, in the boot, was a bin bag containing dismembered body parts. The mutilation was so severe, the body could not be identified, nor could they even determine a cause of death.
What about the ear?
We'll get to that.
Oh.
Omaima is detained and questioned through Sunday night. During questioning, Omaima is very unsettled. She just doesn't sit still. She's up, pacing around, and just sort of rambling. The following morning, Bill is reported missing after he doesn't show up for work, which I thought seemed kind of quick. You know, he doesn't show up one morning and they're like, oh, fuck me, where is he? But...
Well, how did they not put two and two together? Because they'd have been able to look at records, but she's married. So they'd be like, oh, we better go and see her husband. Oh, we can't find a husband. Wouldn't that have been the case?
Well, I'm guessing they were already like, where is Bill? But the next morning when he gets reported missing.
Yeah.
So, like I said, it seemed very quick. But when you factor in that if Bill is someone who's reliable.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was also Thanksgiving. So bear in mind that he hadn't been seen or heard from since the previous Wednesday when he had gone on like the break for Thanksgiving and through the weekend.
Yeah.
So it's actually best part of a week for anyone had seen him. Or since anyone had seen him. So it's not looking great. The police started search of Bill and Omaima's home. And it was a fucking horror show. Senior Deputy District Attorney Randolph Polowski said, there were suitcases and plastic bags soaked with a dark liquid. In the fry cooker, there sat Mr. Nelson's hands. And when we opened the refrigerator, there was Mr. Nelson's head with stab wounds.
Can I just ask, whenever this dismemberment, when someone gets cut up,
yeah,
why does their ear always end up in the fridge?
I don't know.
Like, it always seems to be like a statement where you open the door and there's a plate, like a platter with a head on it.
Yeah.
I wonder what that is.
I don't know.
And what, hands in the fryer?
Yes.
So they'd been deep fried, or...
It says they were found sat in the fryer, like sat in oil. Maybe the head thing might be because that's so personal. It might be like, I can't deal with that now. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, but she's chucking the rest in a bin bag, so just seems to be a recurring thing. It always seems to be near the cooker or in the fridge or...
I'm just, like, that's just off the top of my head, but that's the first thing that comes to mind is the thought of staring at their face is kind of like, right, I'll deal with this later. And obviously it's a smaller item on the body. We'll put that to the side and we'll deal with the bigger issue. But I don't know. He also said she had his entrails in his Corvette. She was trying to get an ex-boyfriend to yank out the dentures from his head so she could dump it in the back bay. Yeah, so she was really trying to get some people involved to help with this. I don't know if she really trusted these people or if she was just in a complete
desperation.
Yeah. Now, Bill was a big lad. He was 6'4" and weighed 230 pounds.
And it's bigger than Travis.
And according to the district attorney, quote, we're missing about 130 pounds of Bill.
So that's heading on to 3/4, isn't it? Oh, yeah. No, yeah, he's 200 and what?
Yeah, so they only have about 100 pounds of Bill.
Yeah.
What a crude way to say it. He asks Omaima, do you know where he might have gone? To which Omaima replies, no, he was all there. Like, she's admitting to the murder.
Yeah.
She said she's done it. On the 1st of December, 1992, Omaima goes to trial for the murder of her husband, Bill. And with this trial, it was a case of whether she should be convicted of first degree or second degree murder. Like I said, she's admitted to it.
Yeah.
The prosecution argued that Omaima was a predator, a cold-blooded killer who was only after Bill for his money. And that during foreplay, Omaima had tied Bill to the bed and plunged a pair of scissors into him before dismembering his body. Whereas Omaima's story is a little bit different. Omaima claimed that pretty much as soon as they got married, Bill changed. He became physically and sexually abusive.
Because he owns her.
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that's what had been going through his head.
With that theory, it does make sense. Now, Omaima was said to have previously been involved in abusive relationships with other men, as well as the trauma from abuse and the mutilation she went through as a child. And during that Thanksgiving weekend, after Bill had raped her, she had had enough. She says she grabbed a nearby pair of scissors and stabbed Bill before completely losing it and beating him with an iron. So that's her side of the story. She grabbed what was nearby to her, which was a pair of scissors, and then she was just so frenzied at the moment, she was so upset, so angry, she had started beating him with an iron. Now, after Omaima was arrested, she told police that her husband had been abusing her,
and they did note that she did have a fair amount of cuts and bruising on her body. Amaima was sent to the hospital for a forensic kit and for other injuries to be assessed. Now, the results for the evidence of sexual assault came back negative, although that doesn't necessarily mean she hadn't been abused previously.
Yeah.
I also looked up to try and find a rough time frame for the testing.
Mm-hmm.
I found out a test can sometimes be carried out up to 7 days after the assault, but ideally within 72 hours of the assault.
Okay.
So,
4 days.
The time frame for her to be tested for it wasn't ideal.
Yeah.
Also, according to the defense, it was often oral rather than vaginal sexual assault.
Okay.
The psychiatrist who was treating Amaima said that she was in a psychotic state at the time of the murder. Yeah. I don't think there's any argument there, is there? While talking to the police, Amaima did start talking about how something made me do it, demons made me do it, that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, like some people believe she did this to take accountability away from herself, or like the psychiatrist said, she was in a psychotic state.
Yeah. Or trying to claim insanity.
Yeah. He also believes that her mental health had been severely impacted due to the sexual and physical abuse that she had endured as a child. Now, as bad as the murder and dismemberment is, there's a bit more to talk about. During this attack, Amaima castrated Bill. She testified that she did this as revenge for the abuse. She also boiled his hands in an effort to get rid of his fingerprints. His head had also been boiled.
For what reason?
Maybe she thought she could get rid of the skin or something, just so his face couldn't be identified. Just destroy facial features. His body had also been skinned.
Fucking hell.
This is an out-and-out brutal, savage attack, you know? According to the psychiatrist, Amaima told him about how she wore red lipstick, put on a red hat, and a red pair of heels. A sort of ritual before she dedicated the entire night to dismembering her husband.
I think she's...
It's not over yet.
Oh.
A little bit more for you. Little bit more. He also claims that Amaima admitted to cannibalizing the body. He quoted her saying, "I did his ribs like in a restaurant. It's so sweet, it's so delicious. I like mine tender."
Ah, oh, she's far gone.
He also claims that she told him she even went as far as marinating his ribs in barbecue sauce.
Yeah, she's insane. Jesus.
He says she later denied eating any part of the body.
But they couldn't find a lot of the body.
Here's the thing. I'm a little bit sus of this. And I'll tell you for why. Something doesn't sound right about it. It doesn't sit right with me, okay?
Mm.
It seems contradictory to me. So she admits to attacking him and killing him.
Yeah.
She admits to dismembering him.
Yeah.
Okay? She even says, "I castrated him to exact my revenge."
Yeah.
So I assume in her mind, she's removing the part of his body that was hurting her. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, if anything, the cannibalism to me seems the opposite. Why would you want to consume his flesh?
But they couldn't find a lot of his body.
But...
because she'd ate it.
Well, here's the thing. We do know that she'd been putting his body down the garbage disposal. Neighbours had told police that they had heard the garbage disposal running all night.
Mm.
So, I don't believe that she actually cannibalised the body. She still, to this day, denies it. It's only the psychologist who said this to me. But then he later says, yeah, she denied it. I don't think... And if she did say something, it was something while she was fucking in a certain state. I think...
Okay, I'll take it back.
I don't know, like, if you believe it, fine, but that's just my opinion.
No, I'll take it back. I said she's far gone and...
No, I said I'd take it back. I think the psychologist was trying to sensationalize it a little bit.
Right.
That's my personal belief.
Hollywood it. Is that what you mean?
Is that what you mean, yeah. Yes, no, that's what I believe. It's kind of, I don't know if it was in an effort to get bigger cases or just get more notoriety. Now, here's the other thing that I think made people really jump on the cannibalism thing. Amima said herself that she had mixed the flesh with leftover turkey meat when disposing of it in order to somewhat disguise it.
Okay.
So I think people were like, oh, she mixed it with food. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But whatever the truth may be, the psychiatrist said that he has never seen anything so bizarre, so psychotic in his 20 years of practice. And I don't doubt him on that one.
Mm.
Another element of this case that caused a bit of a stir was the kink aspect. Amima testified that when they first got together, she agreed to sex with her husband multiple times a day because she said she was in love with him and even though it would cause her pain. She said that if she turned down his request for bondage, he would beat her. She claimed that on one occasion, he punished her by throwing her kitten out of the car window.
Fucking hell.
Mm. She recalled him telling her, I paid for you. I'm getting what I want.
Well, if she hadn't cut his prick off, I would have after that.
So that's Omaima's kind of argument here. They got into the relationship. He fucking changed. And it wasn't this poor innocent person. She was fighting back. That's what she's saying.
Yeah.
Something that doesn't help her case, though. Back in 1990, Omaima was charged with assault, false imprisonment, and attempted robbery of Robert Hansen, which was an ex-boyfriend of hers. She was said to have tied him up and demanded money from him at gunpoint. She was convicted of assault, but she was acquitted of the charges of false imprisonment and attempted robbery.
How?
What do you mean, how?
She tied him up and held a gun to him.
No, but that's what he claims. She wasn't found guilty of it.
Oh, okay.
So, maybe she smacked him around, but... No, like, I'm guessing she assaulted him, but maybe he, going from what evidence was given...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She maybe hit him or something, but maybe he told a little bit more of a tale than what actually happened. So, with knowing what the argument was for the prosecution and what the defense's argument was, what do you think the verdict was, first or second degree murder?
First.
After 6 days of deliberation, the jury found Omaima guilty of second degree murder. Although they said they would have loved to have gotten her on first degree murder, they just didn't have the evidence to support it in any way that it was premeditated.
Yeah.
As well as the jury being divided, some believed she was a victim of abuse, some didn't.
I just want to say, I wasn't saying I think it's first degree murder. I thought they would have her for first degree.
Yeah. Now, like I said, some of them believed she was a victim, others didn't. The jury said that they did feel sorry for her, but they did not entirely believe every claim that she made about her relationship with Bill. The foreman of the jury said after the verdict was given, all I want to do right now is go home and go to bed. You got to think of all the shit they were seeing and hearing, and whether you believe the prosecution or the defense's side, or like they did, a bit of both, that's a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
You know? Omaima was sentenced to 28 years to life in prison. During her parole hearing in 2011, Omaima said, if I didn't defend my life, I would have been dead. I'm sorry it happened, but I'm glad I lived. I'm sorry I dismembered him. When the whole cannibalism thing came up during the hearing, like I said earlier, Omaima stood firm in her stance that she did not cannibalize Bill's body.
Mm.
She is not, bar the what the psychiatrist says, she's never ever said.
Yeah.
She's, since the trial, she's been like, it didn't happen. She also said, I swear to God, I did not eat any part of him. I am not a monster. Omaima also argued that she is not the same person she was at the time of the murder. She described herself as someone who would refuse to let go of any pain that anyone had ever caused her. She added that she had looked for love in all of the wrong places, and that she now values her integrity and has a strong desire to help others. Now, to further convince the parole board that she was a changed woman, she talks about her most recent husband. She did get married while in prison.
Okay.
Older gentleman. He's since passed. Rest in peace.
Of old age?
Yeah, I think so.
Dirty old bastard.
I think he was in his 70s at the time when they got married. I don't know what year it was that they got married, but she would have been a bit older.
Mm.
She says that during their conjugal visits, he never felt threatened or endangered. The last statement was read by Margaret, Bill's daughter. She talks of her wedding and her daughter, and how not having her father around for the big moments in her life has impacted her. Understandably, this would have been incredibly difficult for Margaret to go to the parole hearing and to speak on the matter. She said she did so to return some human dignity to the man who was my father. She finished up her statement by saying, I don't know the adequate punishment for a murderer who doesn't even leave a family a body to mourn over, but I do know you don't let her out. Omaima was denied parole and will next be eligible in 2026.
It's coming up.
Do you think she'll get it?
No. Because it was so extreme.
Yeah.
That's the case of Omaima Nelson and the murder of Bill Nelson. So where do you stand with all of this?
Oh, I take it this is why you've covered it.
I mean, it...
Because you... I think me and you aren't going to see eye to eye on a couple of things.
I covered it for multiple reasons. Obviously, it's an interesting case. I wanted to do a female killer because we haven't done one yet,
mm-hmm.
as far as I'm aware. And yeah, I mean, as I was writing it, I didn't intend to do it that way, but as I was writing, I thought, well, let's have a bit of a conversation about it.
Yeah.
So, go on.
Is the floor mine?
Yeah, all yours.
I think it was in some sort of self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
I think the dismemberment, it was just panic. The getting dressed into a red dress, red shoes and red hat and all that. And did you say red lipstick?
Yes. I don't believe that. That came from the psychiatrist as well.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not saying it didn't happen, but I think that was the sensationalism again.
Yeah. In regards to her eating it, like, is there a problem?
Eating it.
No, in regards to her eating it, it doesn't look great for her. You know, she had one item of the body in the fridge, another one in the fat fryer.
Yes, not great. Can't do that.
And about a eighth of the body was missing. But once you said that, it stood out for me, but it was the only thing she was denying.
Yeah.
She was fessing up to stuff without him even asking.
Yes. She's apologised for the dismemberment and all of that. I'm not saying that makes it okay, but she's acknowledged that she's done it.
Yeah.
She's acknowledged that she killed him. She's acknowledged that she dismembered the body, but she's like, I did not cannibalise the body.
Yeah. But I think that's the least of her worries. She's killed and dismembered a man.
Yeah.
Whether you ate him or not, it's just, it'd have actually done her a favour, probably, owning up, like saying, but she ate him. Because she wouldn't be in a prison, she'd be in a institute.
Mm.
I think they're supposed to be a bit more laid back, a bit safe.
Fucking no. You ever see One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
No, I don't think so.
See, for me, don't worry, I'm not just going to leave you out there hanging. I'm going to give my side of it as well. I feel very similar to how the jury did. I do feel bad for Omaima and what she went through in her younger years. And I personally believe that it was not a safe, healthy relationship for her to have been in.
Mm.
Here's where she lost me a bit, though. The extremes she went to get rid of the body. But with that said, I do believe that Omaima is not well and needs to be treated and not just locked away in prison like we see so often, like you've just said.
Well, one thing I don't like is she's there saying she was looking for love and to be a housewife and all this. She didn't fuck. Why was she going for old rich men? That's all she was going for.
Well, not necessarily a housewife, but just to be taken care of.
But she was only going for old rich men.
Okay, right. Well, here's the thing, right?
Love is love. Like, you could fall in love with a tramp. She's there saying she was looking for love. I don't think she was. She was looking for men who were basically going to pay long term for sex. That's what I have in my head.
Yes.
Not
okay.
not money in exchange for sex, but she's going with an older rich man. His only interest really is the sex. And she knows that going in.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where the love thing comes into it, because she could have fell in love with a McDonald's worker, but she's not going to go with him because he doesn't earn enough.
I know what you're saying, but I mean, my kind of...
Right, and I just want to make it clear, I'm not saying in any way if he sexually assaulted her, but it's okay because she knew what she was there for. I'm not saying that.
Yeah, of course.
It's the love part. I think that's bullshit.
Well, the thing that gets me is the prosecution really wanted to paint her as someone who was evil, malicious, you know, not someone who needed help.
I think she was a manipulator.
But even if that is the case, she's clearly someone who needs help. And yes, the prosecution don't give a fuck about that in this situation. They just wanted, she's terrible, she's evil, lock her away. The thing about it is as well, like, people love to call her a gold digger, a sugar baby and all that, right?
Yes. I'd stand by that.
But why is it that she is being judged so harshly for that and not the men? They were using her just as much as she may have been using them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, no.
I'm not saying you personally believe that. I'm just,
I completely agree with that. That's why I was saying the only issue I had was her saying she was looking for love. She clearly fucking wasn't. She was looking for, she was looking for security.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, whether it was necessarily the right way to go about it, she was looking to secure her future.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she had already confessed to the murder. She was going to be sentenced. I don't agree with how they tried to argue their side. You knew she was going to go to prison.
Yeah.
You didn't need to behave in that manner. And like I said, deliberately try to just lock her away without getting the help. She's never going to get better if you don't get her the help.
Yeah.
Now, as far as how extreme she went, I don't know if this is the case. I don't know the full history of it to really comment. But you know when she was rambling during her interrogation with the police?
Mm-hmm.
She did start bringing up stuff about ancient Egyptians. So apparently with ancient Egyptians, part of the belief of getting into the afterlife is that the body must be whole.
Yeah.
So it was also kind of a factor of, oh, in her state that she was in, was she thinking, I have to destroy the body? So he's not going to get to the afterlife.
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying by any means that's necessarily what it is. But again, if someone's already in a psychotic state,
yeah,
could she have used that as a type of logic for her behavior?
Maybe.
But regardless of that, she has since said, you know, I shouldn't have done that. I should have never have gone that far.
Yeah.
But there you go. That's the case. What did you think?
It's, I think she's where she belongs. I don't think she should ever set foot out of prison. I don't think she's ever going to be stable enough.
Yeah. I just want to say as well, I understand this is a difficult conversation to have.
You're putting me on the spot.
I'm sorry. Like, by no means am I trying to be disrespectful to Bill or his family,
mm-hmm,
or Omaima for having gone through the sexual assault and mutilation and all that. I'm just trying to look at both sides of the argument.
Yeah.
In no way am I trying to downplay what anyone has gone through or the final outcome of it.
And if you have any thoughts on it, what are different to ours, or if you agree in any way, you know, reach out. Social media, email. Because I think there's going to be a lot of different theories on it.
Yeah. Overall, like I said, people like the sensationalism of this case and that she's a cannibal. So I think people all the time lean into that.
If your opinion, I'm not saying it's going to be men, but if your opinion is, well, she knew what she was getting into, she should have gave it up.
Oh, fuck off.
Don't bother reaching out to us. So on that note, we'll move away from it. We need an oddity.
Picture it, Florida.
God.
A man and his wife have gone out to a diner to have some breakfast together. During their meal, this man lets out a ferocious sneeze, followed by a few coughs. You know all about that, don't you, Neil? You are a terrifying sneezer.
You jump when I sneeze.
It's so loud and aggressive. But anyway, after he's done snotting everywhere, he feels moisture on his abdomen and some discomfort.
Shat himself.
No. He looks down and he sees his intestines protruding from his body.
From his belly button?
He'd sneezed his intestines out.
Of what?
What had happened to this man is called evisceration. Evisceration is when innards become exposed through a surgical wound. This man had just gone through a cystectomy 15 days prior.
What's that?
it's having your bladder removed.
So what's he pissing?
They'll make like a...
Oh, the bag.
Yeah, they'll... What?
The bag.
No, they'll like make...
Like an artificial bladder.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that morning, he'd been to his doctors, who had told him that everything looked good, the wound was healing nicely, and that the staples could be removed. In fact, he and his wife were actually out to breakfast that morning to celebrate that everything was going so well. I know.
Imagine being at the next table.
I know.
Be like, ah, fuck this.
But he actually tried to kind of conceal it a little bit.
Wait, he stayed in his food?
No. I'll tell you now. So, after that had happened, an ambulance was called and he was taken to hospital. And luckily, there was no damage to his intestines. And between three surgeons, they were able to place his intestines back inside his abdomen. And don't worry, this is a rare occurrence. But can you fucking imagine? Like, this poor fucking man. And like I said, he tried to kind of hide it a bit. When he first noticed that this had happened, he was said to have kind of just pulled his t-shirt down to cover it. Like, kind of, you know, he's in shock. Like, oh my God, like,
what
do I do?
No one's going to notice his intestines hanging out of him.
I mean, like, what would you do? So he pulls his top down, kind of covers them, holds them, I'm guessing. And he was originally going to actually drive himself to the hospital. But his wife stopped him. She was like, no, you can't be moved, like, in a car, you know what I mean?
I think I would.
But she was smart in the situation. He was obviously panicking, just like, I have to go to the hospital. But she was like, getting in and out of the car and all this, what if you accidentally damage the intestines?
Mm.
So he didn't do that.
Imagine, on the way to the hospital, he got into a car crash and the person who he's crashed into runs over and is like, oh my God.
Yeah. Like, oh my God, could you imagine?
It was only a fender bender. His fucking guts are hanging out.
A fucking nightmare fuel, that. Jesus Christ. But no, he is okay. Everything worked out. But can you imagine sneezing your bastard intestines out?
Yeah.
That's the breakfast ruined. Never going back to that Denny's.
Yeah. Were it breakfast or brunch?
Breakfast, as far as I know.
So it could have been a string of sausages.
That would be unfortunate.
Well, so if I have hernia surgery again, I'll watch out for me sneezes.
Please do. Thank you so much for listening. Find us on Patreon, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. If you have a case suggestion, or maybe even your own story, email us at mortalmusingspodcast@gmail.com.